This is Shauna.
And this is Carla.
Welcome to episode 21 of Two Fit Chicks and a Microphone, the healthy living podcast for the people. Thank you for joining us, and our theme today is staying fit and healthy over winter. Well, Carla, what have you been up to since we last met?
I'm good. I've got to say I'm great. I feel like I've been whiny McWinerson for... I was looking back at my blog posts and my diary, and it's been, my back has been killing me since like August. So I feel like I've been really whiny since August, and I'm good. I've turned the corner. I found the silver lining in my being workout derailed. I'm great. I've got to say, I'm happy and good. I found my smile. I'm taking up or getting back to hula hooping.
No way.
I know, you know, I do it all the time with my daughter, just with our cheap dollar store hula hoops, and then... I'll be sad if you don't know who this is. So if you don't know, just lie to me. You know who Marissa Tomei is?
Yes.
Okay, good.
George Costanza's girlfriend.
Oh, yes. Love that. She came out with, I think it's a hooping DVD, but I'm going to get certified to teach hula hooping to kids.
Oh, you'd be so good at that.
How much fun will that be? So I found my smile. I found hula hooping. I saw the movie Megamind. You don't, probably don't even know what that is because it's a kid's movie.
that dead air was the sound of my brain going, huh?
That's Will Ferrell, and Will Ferrell always finds my smile.
Oh, so, yes.
I'm good. I found the silver lining in my being injured, and I'm really happy, and I appreciate everybody and you, who listen to me whine. I'm good.
You were very, very subtle with your whining.
It's because I was hitting the W-I-N-E, so I would not W-H-I-N-E. But I'm great. I'm good. I found my smile, and I want to say thank you.
Excellent. I found my smile too. I'm actually, even though we're talking about today how miserable winter can be, I'm actually quite enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to meet Julia in person for the first time after 6 or 7 years of online friendship. Our expert, running expert, Julia Jones, we are meeting up in person for a weekend together in Barcelona. And
is that weird? Is it weird meeting people offline when you've known them that long? That's a long time.
I know. It's going to be strange just to see that she has arms and legs and things.
No.
But we're looking forward to it. We're meeting in, we decided rather than me go to her or her come to me, we'd meet on neutral territory. So.
That is going to be so fun. Are you going to run together?
Nah, maybe. She'd probably leave me in the dust.
Are you going to just travel around or sightsee? That'll be really fun.
Bit of sightseeing. It's only a couple of days, but it's going to be good fun.
Oh, I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
So by the next time we record, you'll have already seen her.
See.
Okay. See.
That's the extent of my Espanol. Oops.
Oh, girl, I know a lot. I've been going to Mommy and Me Spanish for 4 years. I can say orange and I want milk, please. So just call me. Just Skype me. I'll help you out.
Excellent, excellent. Well, speaking of winter, we'll move on to our theme today. It was prompted by a lovely reader called Tuli, who is from Finland. Big shout out to our Finnish listeners. I love Finland, and in particular, your chocolate bars. They have really good chocolate over there, would you believe? Anyway, she asked the following question. She says, any tips on how to avoid the hibernation effect? The one where you suddenly really, really want to do nothing but spend the next 4 months sitting at home in the dark doing constant bicep curls from the biscuit tin to your mouth. Yes, it's winter time up north, and my body and subconscious have decided that a warm layer of lard is the season's fashion accessory number one. Oh dear, she says. Now, I know that some of our listeners are heading into summer, and to you, I apologize, but you can just listen going, ha ha ha, suckers, as you slap on your tanning lotion, because we are going to tackle that question. Now, I don't know about you, Carla, and your blog, but every year about this time, I get the question from readers about how to stay healthy in winter. I do like a lot of things about this time of year, like citrus fruit and knowing that Christmas is coming and the knee-high boots and the gloves and the going to the pub and hot chocolate and casseroles. But a lot of my favourite things about winter involve inactivity and ingesting delicious things. And I think in a lot of ways it can be harder to keep up your motivation levels in terms of health and fitness. So just to start, what about you? I know you're in Texas. So I don't know, that's not a really wintry place, is it? But you did used to live back east.
I did. And I now laugh that when I graduated from high school, my parents pretty much said to me, wherever you get in for college, you can go. Huge gift. And I picked Ohio. So I spent a lot of time in the winter, cold and dark. And I struggled. I mean, when I first read her comment or email, I can't remember which one it was, I got to the end of the sentence where she said, sitting at home in the dark doing constant bicep curls. And I thought, oh, sister, that was not me. And then I got from the biscuit into your mouth. And I thought, that was me.
Yeah.
It's just hard. And I struggled because it was cold out and I didn't have a garage. So I was loath to leave my house to go to the gym. And I struggled because it was dark and cold and I didn't want to get out of bed. And it was a lot easier for me then too, because I didn't have my daughter. And so I could lie to myself and think, I'm not doing it in the morning, but I'll definitely do it later. So I was really good at that game. And really, I could go on and on and on. But the bottom line, the only thing that really worked for me was sleeping in my workout gear.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, I did the thing you're not supposed to do. And for some reason, I started wondering as I was pondering this, is there a health reason you're not supposed to do it? But I would sleep in my sports bra and my shorts.
Unless you've got, like, I wouldn't maybe sleep in my Enel sports bra, which is like just this side of bondage gear. It's so tight, you know.
Then you probably wouldn't sleep much.
Yeah, exactly. I probably wouldn't sleep in that. But just like a sort of crop top type of thing, I can see that. Yeah.
Because it's so easy to – it's what you described that we don't do here in Texas, the boots, the scarves, the gloves. And I had a big history of just throwing in the towel over the winter, like all through college because it was so cold in Ohio. And then it only makes it worse when summer comes and you don't want to strip back down again.
Yeah, my husband calls it his winter coat that he puts on.
Yes.
About 5 pounds he seems to gain every year. Oh, I've got my winter coat on again, he says, and then about March he has to take it off again. But, yes, so for me, I came from Australia where the winters were very mild, even living in Canberra, where the nation's capital, which can be quite chilly. It was still, there's just not that soul-crushing darkness like you get over here, you know. What's helped me? Well, being gentle with yourself in that first month where the seasons changing is a real shock. Like, I just think adjusting your expectations while your body adjusts. Like,
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I've been doing – at first I was doing more gentle exercises. You know, try something like swimming or yoga or Pilates if the intense workout really – you just can't face it and like going to bed earlier in that first couple of weeks after the clocks change. But now that I'm sort of getting used to it, I kind of am doing the opposite. I'm going to more classes than I had been because it means I'm getting out of the house and being social instead of welding myself to the couch. And I'm finding that it's really lifting my spirits to be out talking to people and getting my exercise at the same time and also being told what to do. Like, I'm getting a good workout without having to use my brain. So that I'm really, really in love with my kickboxing and Zumba again at the moment because I'm just enjoying leaving the house. But what I did, I know there's a lot of people that listen that have various degrees of winter, and we've got people in Scandinavia who have some really crazy winters where it barely has any light at all. I've got a lot of people in North America that have really soul-crushing winters. So I actually posted about this on my blog the other day and got some really great comments from people who offered all their tips. So I thought we'd rattle through, I won't say the top 10 because they're all top tips, but here are 10 of the top tips that we thought we'd share with you guys. And hopefully there'll be something in here that will be helpful for you.
And we'll spare you sleeping in your brassiere. Might be a little better.
Yeah. First of all, we have a number of people. FD, Kate from Walking in the Rain, who lives in Alaska, and Katie from Fit Living Daily, among others, have all had success using a light box. Now, are you familiar with these, Carla?
I am. And where I used to live in Pennsylvania, it got like the least sunshine of anywhere in the country. And I kept telling my mom to get a light box and because everyone I know there has one and raves about it.
Is it just, it's basically like an illuminated box of light that is meant to be the closest thing, artificial light that's the closest sort of replication of natural light, and you are meant to sort of sun yourself in front of it.
It's supposed to, I believe, stimulate your serotonin levels.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I have to admit, and I'm in, I can't even believe this now, that I went tanning a couple times when I lived back in Pennsylvania. And I thought, I don't care if I get tan. And then later I realized, no, it was that warmth and that bright, bright light that I was craving. And that's kind of what it does. It doesn't tan you, but you sit in front of it for a certain number of minutes a day.
Yeah, I mean, I might try that one year. Katie says she uses this light box and vitamin D and moved to New Mexico, which helps a lot. And she also says, I also incorporate whining, fit throwing, and the occasional all-out tears. She's not a fan of winter.
Okay, Wendy from A Wee Bit of Cooking lives in Scotland and says, my way of dealing with it is to embrace it wholeheartedly. I love that. Candles, red wine, stews, woolly hats, going to sleep at 8:30 p.m. guilt-free, sparkly frost, X Factor, fairy lights, put them up early, keep them up till spring comes, hot water bottles, soggy dogs, wellies, rosy cheeks, better chance of seeing stars.
See, she's really going and embracing the whole experience.
Yeah, I love that.
And as is Angel from Germany, who says, what works for me is winter itself. Can't wait for the first time skiing downhill in fluffy white powder after having walked up the mountain. Snow is the best thing ever for me. No tedious downhill walking, which is bad for the knees, but pure joy in floating in wonderful white stuff.
I love that attitude.
Well, lucky you, Angel. We just get a little bit of slush.
That's, yeah.
But we had enough to make snow angels last winter, which was good fun.
So did we. I forgot about that here in Texas. Okay, Joe says root vegetables and roast everything. Roast chicken, roast parsnip, roast pepper, stuff with things, baked Bramley apples. Love, love, love winter food.
That's a good one. Lala from Schmeck recommends having something to look forward to. She and her partner Mick were so busy counting down the days to our UK trip, we were able to ignore the start of winter. And then, of course, we escaped for a month of it. That was rad. Also, proper UGG boots, best invention ever, she says.
I know, I covet those. I look at those in the magazines and think, oh, I could move back north.
Just for the boots.
Just for the boots. Jules from Big Girl Bombshell says, vitamin D and my Wii.
Yep. Lots of people said about the vitamin D.
I've read so much about that lately, too, and I'm trying to think what it was. There was some dietitian conference and people were tweeting all weekend. And that was the common refrain is get your levels tested. People, everyone's low. We super, super sunscreen, but perhaps you should go without sunscreen for like, you know, 5 minutes out in the sun and get your vitamin D. I've never had it tested. Have you?
No, I do. Yeah. I think it's specifically vitamin D3, which is the, Yeah, of course, you know, it's even more complicated than the letter. I think I do have a vague recollection of Catherine talking about that, our nutritionist, yes, when she was on a while ago. Number seven, we have Laura from Growth is Optional. She said, I love hikes in the winter on weekends out in nature. Might be dreary, but there can be some benefits. You don't sweat as much, fewer bugs, air feels crisper and cleaner. Which I agree, there's something nice about walking in winter, that rugging yourself. She also says, plus, I don't know, there's some kind of romantic slant to that kind of weather. I can imagine I'm traipsing across the moors, hollering for Heathcliff or some nonsense like that. Heathcliff! Yep.
Okay, your readers have the best attitudes.
They do.
They do.
They make me feel ashamed for being grumpy.
Well, listen to this one. Tina from Downsize makes sure she's training for something over the winter. So that way she stays on track and gets to the gym for her intense workout. Lots of people said a really good intense workout is great for boosting their moods, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people said that. They find it just really, well, I mean, what else are you going to do? Sit on the couch? So might as well sweat out in the gym. I think it does. I make a lot more effort to exercise this time of year. Ginger Snapping. That's the name of her blog, but the blogger is Ginger Snapper, a lovely woman. She said, this time of year, I start doing my workouts in the morning instead of after work, when she usually does them. I cannot even conceive of exercising in the nighttime in the dark. So when I get it done in the morning, I can put my jammies on at 6 p.m. without guilt. That's good. She's just adjusted so she can enjoy the cozy winter jammy experience, knowing she's already jumped about in the morning.
And there's something for me, even if I get up and I'm working out in the morning and it's dark, it's the promise of the coming sunlight. It doesn't bother me as much. It does feel, like you said, soul crushing at night. It's not going to happen for me.
Yes. I actually went to an 8:30 p.m. Zumba class on Friday. I don't know. I was sitting on the couch at 7 o'clock and Gareth, are you going to that Zumba class tonight? And I was like, well, I suppose I could. There's nothing happening here. And I went, and about 9 o'clock, I just looked up the clock and went, oh, I just want to go to sleep. I can't do it. It was just too late for me. I couldn't do it. I was not really shaking my tushy with any vigorousness at all. Any vigor. God, I can't even speak properly. It's a 9:45 here.
I'm vigor free by 10:15.
Yeah. So, okay, why don't you
do the last one? Because they were your commenters.
They are. They were lovely people. Laura says, number 10, my friend has a party every January called an SAD sad party where he grills outside on his porch. We drink summery drinks and eat summery food, and summery movies are played on his TV. We also drink a lot. That helps.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Isn't that a great idea for a party? Let's just it may be snowing outside, but we're going to grill. We're going to watch. What would you watch? What's your favorite summer movie? I like Grease.
Oh, I like Grease too. I also like Grease too. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yes. The one with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
The slightly less successful one. Yeah.
Yes, that was my favorite. I'm always rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, that's the spirit. And one, I also found a tip on I don't know if you've ever used the website Ask Metafilter. It's an old school website, but people ask questions and people come up with great answers. And someone asked for your best SAD or SAD, whatever you call it, hacks. Which hacks is what geeks say instead of tips, isn't it?
Yes.
I should know. I'm a geek myself. So somebody shared a tip/hack. Go for a walk outside around dusk. This commenter said, I find that actually witnessing the transition to night provides a little bit of balance and helps counter the feeling of darkness encroaching into the day. Working from home, I found the weather even more of a challenge, but I found the same principle applies. Go for another walk outside at the end of your working day to symbolically mark the transition from working day to leisure time. I do like that idea. However, soon it will be dark at 3 p.m. here and I won't be able to go outside for a walk. But I thought that's really nice. It's like embracing that kind of, yes, it's dark. The night's drawing in.
Well, and I'm thinking about when I lived in England for a year when I was in third grade, and I was so young, and I still remember thinking, holy moly, it is dark early here. And I was so young. It is hard. It's a struggle.
It's just so strange. I remember the first year I was here, 2003, everyone kept saying, brace yourself. When the clocks change, it's going to be different. I'm like, yeah. I lived in Canberra. We had a cold winter, but just that first time, it was dark. I remember going to a writing class after work and I was like, I was a zombie. I was just, and I went into the male toilet by mistake. I was so disoriented by the dark and my body clock was so out of whack. And I was sitting on the toilet going, why is there a graffiti of a penis on the back of this door? And and I got to the men's toilets by mistake and I'm just sitting there going, oh no, I've got to get out of here. Why does it smell funny in here?
See,
it just but that was my first winter in Scotland, so I just didn't know. I just didn't know what hit me.
Well, your commenters have some great. We need to link the rest of the post so people can read the comments that we didn't share today.
We will indeed. We will. Cool.
Okay, as you may recall in our self-love episode 20, we misrecorded an interview with our special guest. But we've brought her back today.
Yes, if you can just mentally cut and paste this interview into the self-love episode, our listeners, that would be fabulous.
And I did out who our special blog is on my blog. But to reintroduce her, she's a woman so many of us know and love, and a woman whose blog name or moniker, whatever we call it, kind of perplexed a lot of us at the beginning. And it's Mrs. Fatass. Welcome.
Thank you. Did it really perplex you?
Well, I have to say that I was one of those, and I was on Twitter, who initially saw there seemed to be a bunch of them for a short while, just of what I thought were negative names at first. And I wanted to grab you and say, oh, show me your booty, sister. I'm sure you do not have a badass. So I didn't get it at first. So introduce yourself to those of us who might not be familiar with your blog. What's the name of your blog and where did the name come from?
Okay, well, I'm Mrs. Fatass. I'm Sue, but I'll also answer to Mrs. Fatass. And my blog is at MrsFatAss.com, and it's called Did I Just Eat That Out Loud? I started this weight loss blog about a year and a half ago, and Mrs. Fat Ass kind of came from, became this voice, this persona. I needed a name that wasn't just my mommy blogging moniker from before, because I had more kids and was in a different part of my life and wanted to write about different things, and I wanted something that showed that I'm funny and I'm kind of self-deprecating, but I'm really honest. I just try to be really honest about my process, and something that would make people read the name and think, I mean, because I like to say, if I can do it, anybody can. You know, anybody can. And I just don't think everybody has to be so serious about stuff all the time. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with self-love or self-loathing for you. It just kind of is what it is, and it's snarky, and it's funny, and it fits your writing voice.
The number of times I've had to say to people that the name doesn't have anything to do with the size of my ass, it doesn't have anything to do with that at all. I guess there are a handful of words like that I use and reclaim, and even you and I, Carla, don't always see eye to eye on some of them. I don't mind using the word perfect, because the way I mean it means something different than the way other people might mean it. Like, my perfect place isn't a place of getting everything right all the time. It's a place of, yes, giving a crap about it, you know. I use the word diet. I step on the scale a lot. I do a lot of things that, you know, aren't, that a lot of people think that you shouldn't say or shouldn't do or shouldn't think.
Okay, so we've established that you might not have as big a booty as some people might think when they initially see your name on the blog or on Twitter.
Right.
Could you give us, like, maybe just a little bit of a background for those of us who don't know you or your blog? What's your story? Do you really need to lose weight? Have you ever been overweight? Is this a focal point of your blog? Can you give us a little healthy living history background for some listeners?
Oh, my healthy living history background. Okay. I had a rockin' body growing up, and on the inside, I felt like I was not that. I grew up as a dancer and an actress, and, you know, had a really loving home life and a really great background, you know, in terms of where I come from my family, but was in a lot of environments where decisions were made for very superficial reasons. You know, you're going to play this part because you look this way or look that way. And so I became very aware of my body at a very early age. Well, I remember, you know, as young as fifth or sixth grade, wanting to lose weight, wanting to be thinner, wanting to look different, whatever. I look back at photos now of me as a teenager or whatever with this fantastic body. I mean, you know, curvy, size 10, filled out my clothes nice, but I didn't feel good on the inside. I was active. You know, I was a dancer, and, you know, in acting, you're always moving. I lived in Chicago. I lived in cities where I didn't have a car, and I was walking a lot and all that. So it was pretty easy for me to maintain a healthy lifestyle. And then, you know, I got a little older. I fell in love and got married. I had kids. I do need to lose weight. According to doctor's charts, I probably need to lose 70 pounds to be, I don't know what the doctor, my personal goal is 50. I'd be happy with 50. That would put me back, you know, at, I think, a comfortable, livable weight where I'm not struggling every day to be skinny. You know, I think it would be a nice, healthy weight for me. Different lessons have gotten in the way, though. I mean, I haven't gained any weight since I've started the blog, but I haven't lost the 50 pounds. I'll take off, you know, a few here and a few there, and then I maintain kind of while I work on other things. So I'm taking the slow route to losing the weight, I guess, which is fine because I think that, you know, it'll be permanent that way. But I've revamped my kitchen and revamped my outlook in terms of exercising, and, you know, I know I have a lot more information, and I'm getting back to that lifestyle where I'm moving more than I'm not. But it's hard. I'm always doling out goldfish and popping one in my mouth, or, you know, I mean, you have a kid, they want treats and whatever, and I feel compelled to taste most of them, and so I don't know. Kids is what really changed my body. Having babies is what really. But I don't have one of those stories where I have the major health problems yet, or the inability to, you know, purchase clothes at any store or things like that. So sometimes I think that makes it a little harder to buckle down.
Well, that's why we wanted to have you on, is that you do. I mean, I love your writing, and you can tell that, yes, you may think, okay, I really do want to lose 50 pounds, but you can tell from your blog posts that you pretty much love yourself the way you are today in this moment, which is so important. And we both love your bikini promise. We don't exactly understand what it is, do we?
Okay.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about that.
Okay. Well, the bikini promise is basically my personal belief that I don't think that we need to wait until we hit the certain number or the certain size or the certain weight or the certain perfect time to do the things we've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to wear a bikini. I wrote myself a letter at the end of the year last year when everybody was doing New Year's resolutions that this past summer I wanted to be in a bikini. I wanted to be at that weight where I felt comfortable wearing a two-piece for the first time in my life. And I wasn't. I wasn't at that weight. I wasn't anywhere close to that weight. I think throughout the course of this year, I've lost and, you know, maintained a loss of maybe 8 or 10 pounds. But I wore one anyway. I found one that fit the body the way it looks now that I was comfortable in, and I wore bikinis almost every day this summer.
And you posted a picture.
And I posted a picture. I didn't, you know, I just don't think you should wait. My husband and I lost a very close friend of ours a couple of years ago who put a lot of these ideas in motion for me. And he was young. He was in his early 30s. And he struggled with weight all of his life. He'd had weight loss surgery and, you know, gained after that. And he passed away. And one of the biggest things my husband and I took away from that is that he never waited to live his life. I mean, he was bigger than life, and he had a loud laugh, and he played sports, and he did all these things no matter what size he was. Or, you know, where, I mean, he loved big and he played hard. And when he died, we were left with this big hole. And we just, from knowing Jason, said, it'll never be the perfect time for half of the stuff I want to do unless it's now, unless I just do it now. So I got bikinis and I wore bikinis this summer and I felt really damn good doing it. It was just one of those things that I can now cross off my list and not have to wait for, not have to think one day, why didn't I ever? I mean, I hate looking back at those pictures of me when I looked all fabulous and thinking I don't look fabulous now. I do look fabulous now. There's no reason to wait.
Oh, and in the picture,
some mythical circumstance.
Yeah. And the confidence radiates from your core. I mean, I totally remember seeing those pictures on your blog, and I remember you had other bloggers visiting, and just you looked so happy. If I didn't know that it was like a conscious choice to wear the bikini and to put it out there, I would just think, oh, there's my friend Sue in her bikini.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, that would kind of waver sometimes from day to day. I mean, we all have days where we feel really good in our skin and days maybe where it's a little nerve-wracking, but I don't know, it felt good. It felt right. And I've encouraged others to do the same, whether it be a bikini or a... Well, I haven't really ever encouraged anybody to wear a Speedo, but I would. Or, you know, whatever it is, if it's to jump in and start writing the book, or if it's to, you know, whatever it is that you think you have to have all these circumstances a certain way before you can start, I challenge you that maybe you don't. Maybe you could do it right now.
For our listeners today that may be listening to this episode or the previous episode and still pondering the whole loving yourself today where you are thing, what would be your a tip for them if they're just struggling to get their head around loving themselves where they are right now?
You know, there are a couple of things that I have learned from bloggers who have become friends. And, you know, most of them all boil down to the simple fact that it doesn't have to be big and huge and major and stressful to make a change. It can be, it's really just about being consistent. It's about making the decision that you want to live a certain way and not thinking, oh my God, I have to revamp my whole life. But I could take a walk. I could go for a walk today. I could start simple. I was just reading a blog today on the Clydesdale Project, and he was talking about meeting a blogger who just encourages people, if they've ever wanted to ride a bike, to just get on the bike. Don't read about getting on the bike. Yeah. Don't learn all about getting on the bike. Don't study everything about getting on the bike. Just grab a bike and pedal away.
Oh, I'm guilty of that.
It is. It's a paralysis by analysis.
It's time to just do it. You know, just do it. Just give something a shot. Yeah, it's scary and worry about tomorrow tomorrow. And deal with what you want to do today.
Ooh, I like that as your closing wisdom to the listeners. Do what you want to do today and worry about tomorrow tomorrow.
The wisdom of Mrs. Fatass.
Woohoo!
Well, Sue, thank you very much for coming in again and chatting us to us today. And I can assure you that the recording has been recorded. It is still recording as we speak. And thank you for being equally dazzling this time around. We really appreciate you coming and sharing us your own experiences with learning to love yourself and rocking that bikini.
Thank you. It was great to be here. Even better the second time.
Thank you.
Well, it's blogger news time again. If you're doing great things in your life, we would love to hear all about it. Nothing is too big or small. Don't be shy. Just send us a couple of sentences and let us know what you've been up to. But for today's news, it's over to our Austin correspondent, Ms. Carla.
All right. We have news from Catherine from Australia, who has previously shared her body image NSVs with us. And she wanted to share that she's taking on the Pier to Pub next year. And that's a 1.2 kilometer ocean swim.
Whoa.
After swearing that she would never do it again after her last attempt. She says either memory of how horrible it was has faded enough for me to want to have another crack at it, or I'm a closet masochist. Either way, I'm very excited and deep in training mode. Speedos ahoy.
Oh, that sounds like a good one. Jenny from Against the Numbers says, I'm now one quarter of the way to my weight loss goal of losing 80 kilos, which is 176 pounds. I've lost 21 kilos, 46 pounds, and that means I only have another 130 left to go, pounds that is. I'm feeling quite proud of myself right now. And as you should, Jenny, good on you.
Wow, yes. Okay, Elizabeth shared with us at the Two Fit Chicks blog, hi, ladies. I just wanted to say I started listening to your podcast this week, and I really enjoy it. You're very motivating, and yes, I listen to you while I work out as well. I especially love the blogger news section, and now you're in it. It's great to hear about everyone's victories, especially since we all tend to minimize our victories. It's fun to hear them on a podcast. One of my NSVs is that I biked to the train station this morning, even though it's getting really cold in the Midwest. The train station is about a mile and a half from my house, and my fiancé will sometimes give me a ride when the weather is bad, but I decided to rough it this morning. Plus, now I have a quick way to get to the YMCA after work. Thanks again, ladies. You're the best.
Ooh, well done, Elizabeth. Stay warm.
Midwest, yeah.
Desert agave. Is that how you say agave? Is it agave?
I would say agave.
Okay. Desert.
But I also wanted to call her Heab for Heather Eats Almond Butter, so... I might not be the one to ask.
Desert Agave, who blogs at desertagave.wordpress.com. In November of 2009, I weighed 302 pounds. That month, I started working on my weight by working out with a trainer on my own and by following a menu plan put together for me by a sports dietitian. Since then, I've lost a little over 100 pounds and I am now below 200 for the first time in 14 years.
Great.
Recently, I had my body fat measured via hydrostatic weighing, and it came in at 26.4%, which I'm told is in the healthy range for women. I can hardly believe it. I may still weigh almost 200 pounds, but I am already at a healthy weight. I would never have believed you last November if you had told me this was possible. She is amazing. I love her.
Yeah, that is amazing.
She's a good egg. Congratulations, and well done, because you have worked so hard for that. Over to you.
I know we're wrapping it up with my neighbor, Pamela from Texas, who I don't know. Hi, Pamela. Look for me. I signed up for and am training for the Austin race in the Danskin Triathlon Series. It falls on my youngest son's third birthday, so it's going to be a big milestone. Mommy takes her body back at last.
I know Pamela. We met in Chicago. She's lovely. She's also married to a Scotsman. So I'm very proud of you, Pamela, and good luck with your training.
Yeah. Have you been inspired by our human headlines and our dead air? Do you have some news of your own to share to fill that little space that we had there at the end? Do you want to rat out your high achiever friends? Drop us a line at hello@twofitchicks.org, tweet us @twofitchicks, or as we love how Shauna likes to say, pop a comment on the blog or on our Facebook page.
Yes, indeed. Please do that. We love hearing from you. Now that is all for episode 21 of Two Fit Chicks and a Microphone. Thank you very much for listening and for sending us your news, and all those Diet Girl commenters, thanks for your wonderful tips about coping with this wonderful wintry season. And thanks also for Sue, aka Mrs. Fat Ass, for joining us today for the second time. And if you would like to find Sue's blog or any of the other bloggers mentioned in today's episode, you can visit us at twofitchicks.org. And you can also find their information on how to subscribe and find all the links to our previous episodes. You can catch up with Carla at misfitonline.com and I'm at dietgirl.org. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Stay warm or cool, depending on where you are. This is Shauna signing off from Scotland.
I know, and this is Carla signing off from beautiful, wintry, still bright and sunny Austin and feeling a little bit guilty. And we'll see you next podcast.
I saw you standing in the corner on the edge of a burning light. I saw you standing in the corner. Come to me again in the cold, cold night. In the cold, cold night. A little older, like a full-grown woman might. But when you're gone, I grow colder. Come to me again in the cold, cold night. In the cold, cold night. I hear you walking by my front door. Creaking of the kitchen floor. I don't care what other people say. I'm gonna love you anyway. Come to me again in the cold, cold night.